Good morning. This is Tim Wright from St. John's Church, Birkdale, and this is the talk for Sunday, the 29th of October. And the talk is based around Psalm 40, verses 1, 2, 3. And it's great that you can join me here to listen to what God has to say to us this morning. I'm sure many of you can remember your Sunday school days when you learnt about the great stories of the Bible. Maybe one of your favourites was Noah and the Ark, perhaps Jonah and the whale, or even the Good Samaritan. But I think for many of us, the story of David and Goliath would be one that would be, well, right up there towards the top. A young shepherd boy standing up to and defeating the giant that was Goliath with a stone from his sling and a direct hit right between the eyes. Many of these Sunday school Bible stories tell us about the great characters of the Bible and how they overcame diversity. And if we're honest, they were often told with a bit of a positive spin, or at least told through rose-tinted glasses. And even as adults, it's easy for us to look at some of these characters and hold them up as people of God that we could never even begin to compare ourselves to. We could never reach the heights of David or Noah or Moses. It's easy, isn't it, for us to fall into the trap of thinking that these characters are nothing like us, or that we can't relate to them on our own daily walk with God. But the reality, you know, is somewhat different. Pretty much every great character in the Bible experienced life in exactly the same way that we do. They had times when their faith was tested. They had times when they made mistakes. And as well as experiencing good times, they also experienced incredibly difficult times. And even David, the shepherd boy who became one of the greatest kings of the Bible, having defeated Goliath, even he experienced times of great trial and tribulation and had to learn patience to see what God was working on during his life's journey. This morning, we're going to look at the first three verses from Psalm 40. Now, the book of Psalms in the Old Testament is the hymn book and the prayer book of the Bible. Written by just a handful of authors, they include songs of praise and worship. They include cries for help or protection. They include pleas for forgiveness, and they offer songs of thanksgiving. And David, of David and Goliath fame, was the most prolific author of Psalms, with about half of them attributed to him. And the first three verses of Psalm 40, I think, set out a pattern of life that was so real for him, but also incredibly relevant for us today. Psalm 40, 1 to 3. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. I think these three verses are amazing, because they set out six stages in our Christian experience, both as individuals, but also as churches. And these stages are a blueprint for how things will be and how we should respond when life gets hard. And be in no doubt, a Christian should expect life to be hard. In John 16, verse 33, Jesus tells his disciples, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." And despite us knowing, because the Bible tells us, that times are going to get tough, it's easy to stumble and fall away from the faith. And I'm sure we've all seen people who fall away from their faith rather than persevere. So how do these three verses help us? And what is God saying to us today? Well, we're going to look very briefly at the six stages suggested by these verses. Stage number one, we will find ourselves in the pits. The first thing we notice from these verses is that David is in the pits. The image conjured up in verse 2 is deeply unpleasant. A slimy pit, deep in the mud and the mire. Other Bible versions talk about miry clay, horrible and desolate. We aren't told the exact nature of the pit that David's in, but it seems pretty clear that it's a situation of hopelessness and desperation. This idea of being stuck in the bottom of a pit, unable to lift yourself out of the mud or the quicksand. Even David, the great king, found himself in a dreadful place. And it might be exactly the same for us. We might be experiencing a sense of desperation or breaking point. And the pit referred to in verse 3 could be any number of life's trials. For us, it could be a lingering or a serious illness. It could be financial pressures or finding it impossible to get a job. It might be relationship breakdown. And as churches, we might have experienced similar situations. Financial problems, building issues that we just can't solve, splits in the congregation. All of us, like David, will find that at some time in our lives, we will be in the pits. Number two, we need to cry out to God when we're in the pit. Verse 1 tells us what David's response was. He turned to me, that is, God turned to me and heard my cry. David cried out to God in his time of trouble. His first response was to cry out to God. Now, you might expect that someone of David's status and influence could have turned to anyone and anything to help him out of the pit. Surely somebody with such a regal background wouldn't be short of people able and willing to help. But the instruction to us is clear when we continue on to verse 4. Because blessed is the man, it says, who puts his trust in the Lord and has not turned to the proud. In other words, blessed is the man who turns to God first. Don't use God as your last resort if all else fails. Make your first cry to God. Psalm 118 verse 8 and 9 puts it like this. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to take trust in princes. Sadly, this is a response that is all too rare today. Because we live in a self-help society, don't we? You might say the most advanced society in all of history. We have everything at our fingertips. Knowledge, advice, expertise, instant advice. Yet we also live in a totally dysfunctional society, crippled with problems on so many levels. We live in a society that hardly ever turns to God, even as a last resort. And we wonder why the world is at its most perilous for generations. The message from Psalm 40 is when you are in a pit, the only cry to make is to God. So number one, we're going to find ourselves in the pits. Number two, we need to cry out to God. Number three, we then need to wait for God. As a quick aside, Sally and I have been in the Cotswolds this week and we had a great time. But we did make a little bit of a schoolboy error in choosing to head home on a Friday afternoon on the M6. During half term week. I should have listened to verse 1 of this psalm as we struggled to make progress on the motorway. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. Now, of course, our motorway experience is nothing like the trials that we can face in life. But this verse is so important for us to hear because it tells us that we should hold on even when it might seem that God's help is a long time coming. Our human nature is to be impatient and expect God's answer to be immediate. It's like that prayer, isn't it? Oh Lord, please help me to become more patient and do it now. But we can't give God a deadline. His timing will always be perfect, even when it might not seem so to us. Waiting for God is an essential part of Christian life, but it's not just a passive waiting. It refers to an expectancy and a longing, almost a controlled straining towards the moment when God's going to answer. There's a great song that we used to sing back in the day that puts it like this. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. It's an image of a deer looking expectantly for his thirst to be quenched, and how we too should purposefully but expectantly wait for God. You might be waiting for the healing of an illness. You might be waiting for your relationships to be restored. We might be longing for growth in our congregations, or longing for more people in Birkdale to know Jesus. Or we might have been waiting many years for a new vicar. But the timing is in God's hands. We need to wait patiently for him, safe in the knowledge that his plan and his timing will be perfect. And waiting means trusting him. It means recalling and relying on the past faithfulness of God in your life. And waiting also means continuing your walk with him day by day. Stage 4 is that God will answer your cry. Verse 2 is such a glorious promise, isn't it? He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire, and set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. When God answers our cry, he moves us from a sense of desperation to a sense of security, out of the quicksand where we can't find anything solid to get a foothold, to a rock going nowhere. For David, we don't know what God's answer was. It might have been the healing of a disease. It may have been deliverance from his enemies, or it could have been any number of things. And it's exactly the same for us. When God answers our cry, we're taken from a place of insecurity, doubt, guilt, desperation, whatever it might be, to a place of peace, security, and surrounded by his love. We've seen it here at St. John's with answers to prayer. For physical, for mental, for spiritual healing. And people literally being moved from a place of desperation to a place of hope. We've cried out to God and he has answered our prayer in his own time. And I'm sure you'll have experiences in your own churches. Changes in people, changes in circumstances where God is really the only explanation. So we're going to find ourselves in pits. We need to cry out to God. We need to wait for God. He will answer our cry. And then number 5, once he's answered our cry, God gives us a new song to sing. Having delivered David from the pit, look what happens in verse 3. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. When David's cry was answered and he was freed from the situation he was in, he had new optimism. A thankfulness for what God had done for him and a level of enthusiasm and gratitude that manifested itself in some form of outward expression of praise. Psalm 98 verse 1 gives us another example. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he has done marvellous things. Similar words you'll find in Psalm 144, 149 or Isaiah 42. The message for us is that when God delivers us from one of life's pits, we should praise God. We should recognise what he has done for us, and we should make sure that others know about it. Each one of us, if we've made that decision to follow Jesus, has been rescued from the pit of sin. And the truth of the gospel is that Jesus defeated sin when he died and rose again. And the song in all of our hearts should be to share the good news with Birkdale. That new life, eternal life, is available to anyone who accepts Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. It's not a secret that we should be keeping to ourselves. It's a message we should be singing from the rooftops. If we don't share our message, who's going to share it? And that brings me to my 5th and final stage, is that when we sing our song of praise, others will see and put their trust in him. Because verse 3 continues with these words, many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. When God delivers us from a pit and we outwardly praise him, the result is that other people see the work of God. The reason that we are given a new song to sing is so that other people hear it and are touched by it. If God answers our cry, it's our duty as a Christian to share that with others. They will see a person who was in distress, who never lost hope, and who trusted God for the outcome, who was then delivered from their trial and praised God as a result. That is what being a witness is all about. It's about giving God the glory, and by doing so, others will put their trust in him. It's what evangelism is all about. It's about authentic, personal testimony and sharing our faith and what God has done with others. So there we have it. Three verses and a fantastic blueprint for us as we continue our walk in faith. And you know, it will never always be just a walk in the park. When we were stuck in the queues in the motorway just yesterday, Friday, we were so relieved when the traffic started to flow again and we reached normal cruising speed. It wasn't long though before the lights started flashing and the warning of further queues were thrust before our eyes. And it's the same with life's trials and troubles. We may cry out to God and he will answer our prayer and lift us out of the pit. But we have to persevere. More pits will come along. They certainly did for David. Read further on in the Psalms and you'll hear that. And they will come again for us too. And so we have to continually hold on to the promise of God and wait yet again for him to deliver. So this morning, I want to just very quickly recap what we've learned. David's example tells us to call out to God. We are going to be in the pits, but call out to God not as a last resort, but as our first action. We then need to wait on God's timing, trusting that he has a plan and that his plan is perfect. God will answer our cry, not necessarily in the way we want or expect him to, or even in the time that we want him to, but answer it he will, and he will lift us out of the pit. And when he does, we have a responsibility to share our experience with others, to share our testimony, and then see God at work in calling others to a real relationship with him. Amen.